It's the final message in a series called Fresh Start. We'll begin a new one next week called Matters of the Heart, and I'll begin that series. So we're looking forward to that. But today, I've got a message, and I want to make a disclaimer real quickly. If you were here last week, I mentioned a book that I'm reading right now that I think is worthy of your time. It's called Effortless Change. And I said it's almost like an oxymoron, effortless change. It's like jumbo shrimp, clean dirt, right? It's like, effortless change. For most people, change is traumatic, to be honest with you. When people talk about change, they're never excited about change. Change always seems to be something that people are drug into or that happens beside the fact that, that's not what I want, but I'm going to have to deal with this. So then the pastor stands up, not only talks about effortless change, but, people find change, it's traumatic to them. They find it so difficult. I think that our reason for starting this series at the first of the year is because so many people will make some type of a New Year's resolution, right? I'm going to lose weight. I had someone email me, was reading it just a few minutes ago, and they said, my resolution is to clean up the clutter in my life. Yeah. And then my wife goes, yes, we have a crawl space full of clutter, don't we? Yeah. It's like a secret sin that we keep covered up down in the basement. So people with good intention, people start out wanting to make tremendous changes in their life, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking down to that. And if that's working for you, man, I applaud you. Keep going. But the rough truth simply is this, that so many times we'll make a resolution and we'll start out like a house of fire, and then the joke is the gym's empty in February. Right? You never want to start working out in January. Start in February or March. You'll have the whole thing to yourself basically by that time. And so many people start with good intentions, and yet they find themselves falling so short on it. And then if you live long enough, you get to the point where you even ask, why do it that way? Because it's so frustrating, and it just makes me feel like I can't get through something. So I'm going to paraphrase a scripture for you that I found many years ago, but it might help to explain why resolutions that you're trying to do with willpower fail so many times. This is what the Bible says. When you use your flesh to tame your flesh, it actually sets the flesh on fire. Did you hear that? When you use your flesh to control your flesh, it actually makes your flesh go crazy. There's just I don't know, a circular thinking in it that we feel like, okay, I'm going to make up my mind and I'm going to do it. And what you actually find, it's what Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I don't want to do is the thing that I'm doing. And then he says, who will deliver me from this body of sin or death? And he gets it. That flesh thing it's an incredible battle. So we start out like, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do this finally. And I think that we miss the point of it. It's, do you remember, if you're old enough, Avis Rent-A-Car used to have that saying, we try harder. Do you remember that? Churches should have that slogan out front. Because we tell people, just try harder. Work at it harder. Give yourself more to it. Make up your mind. Pray more. Write it down. And the truth of the matter is, trying harder might be the most frustrating thing in life. Jesus didn't die so you could try harder. Jesus died to set you free. And so when we talk about this idea of effortless change, that's where I want to try to take you today. I know it sounds like impossible, but I think that there's a miracle hidden in Scripture that we kind of skip over it. And when I say hidden, it's camouflaged is maybe a better word for it. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 4, and let me point out to you Mark chapter 4 and the context of it. Jesus begins Mark chapter 4 talking about a farmer went out to sow seed. And he talks about, he cast some of it in this place, some of it in that place, some of it in this place. And then he talks that when it fell in a place without a lot of soil, it sprang up, but because it didn't have a good root, when the sun came out, it just kind of withered and died. And then he said, some fell in this place on the rocky path, and because it didn't take root, the birds of the air. He's talking about the demonic, really, that comes and steals the seed. And then he said, some of the seed falls in good soil, And then it brings back this incredible harvest, 30, 60, or 100 times. One seed can bring back a harvest 100 times greater than itself. And it's this powerful teaching that Jesus gets into. The disciples don't understand it. So privately they come to him, of course. Nobody ever asks in front of everybody, hey, I don't get it, Jesus, tell me about this. Privately they come to him, can you explain this to me? And Jesus is like, listen, the seed is the word of God. And the farmer, in this case, I'm talking about myself, but it's really anybody who casts out the word of God. And the soil is the heart. And if it falls in the right place in the heart, it can produce a return 30, 60, or 100 times greater than itself. But if it falls in the wrong place, the enemy will come and steal that seed. Yeah. It's a powerful teaching on it. And then a little later in that same chapter, Jesus teaches about the mustard seed. How many of you are familiar with mustard seed faith? He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, right? As small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So those two teachings, very famous, are Mark chapter 4. But right in the middle of the chapter is a hidden or camouflage teaching on effortless change. And I want to try to read this to you today. So the book Effortless Change is where some of my information is coming from. So if you listened to me last week and you picked up that book and then you hear the message today and you go, man, Pastor John is using that book. I'm admitting to you, I'm using the book Effortless Change. I'm not the president of Harvard denying plagiarism. It's a ripoff. So, no, it's my words, but the thought came from this. So, Mark chapter 4, we're going to start at 26 through 29. These three verses, really powerful, and it's a hidden miracle. So Jesus also said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Now look at this. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed goes to work. So whether you're playing or working, sleeping, hanging out, eating, whatever you're doing, if this seed is in your life, the seed goes to work. You're not doing anything except receiving the seed. The brilliance of God is in the seed. Hear that. The genius of God is contained in the seed. And if the seed ends up in the right place in your heart, you're not doing anything for the seed to grow except receiving it into your heart. And the seed goes to work in your life. Does that make sense? So look at it. Jesus also said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Remember, he just taught the seed is the word and the ground is the heart. Night and day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, while the person is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But the person does not understand how it happens because it's the genius of God. Yeah. It's God working on your behalf. Most of us are trying harder. It's backwards. The kingdom of God is paradoxical that if you want to be the greatest, be the least. But the world says if you want to be the greatest, you better be the greatest. If you want to be first, Jesus said be last. But we go, if you want to be first, you better get there first. So the kingdom of God, it's a paradoxical kingdom. It's upside down. It's not the normal way that a person thinks. So then Jesus is teaching rather than work harder, try hard. Please take that out of my way, Eric. I can't. You got to keep these aisles clear, bro, while I'm preaching, man. It throws me off. Security guys, I just... You're turning so red, I'm so sorry. Stand up for a minute, too. No, stand up, just for a second. Come on.
Come on, Eric.
Look how big this man is right here. I'm so bold while I'm up here with the microphone, but afterwards I'll be like, I'm so sorry. So the idea of just, okay, we're going to try harder. It seems right in our, like studying for a test. That is, you got to try harder. Got to study harder. But the kingdom of God is not a test. Jesus passed the test. We reap the benefit of what he did, right? So I'm not preaching some gospel of laziness. That's not what I'm saying. But he did the work for us. And what this is teaching right here is this powerful truth that we're trying harder to get something into our life. Why isn't this working? Okay, I'm going to work at it harder. I'm going to memorize more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to believe more. And we're trying to do it. And that scripture comes back. When you use the flesh to tame the flesh or train the flesh or work on the flesh, it actually makes your flesh do the opposite thing. So we find ourselves failing at it so many times and we don't know, why am I failing? Because the kingdom of God is a paradoxical kingdom. You want to be greatest, be the least. You want to be first, be last. If they hit you, smack them hard. Turn the other cheek. If they want your shirt, give them your coat too. It's a beautiful thing, but it's a difficult thing. Because it's opposite of where the mind wants to go, and it's hard. It really shows you how strong your flesh is. Does that make sense? So the miracle hidden in plain sight is that the seed in the right place in your heart goes to work. The seed sprouts and grows, but the person does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. The genius of how it works is that God set it up to be automatic. If you'll just get it in your heart, it's automatic. Your job is not to perform this. Your job is to receive this. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. So what he's teaching is that when the seed is in your heart and it germinates, it takes time to produce fruit. God has his own timetable. It's never the same as mine. Mine is always now. And his is always, you get with me and we'll figure it out, John. And as soon as the grain is ready, so it's, please hear these three verses. They're so powerful. As soon as it's ready, not one day before and not after, but as soon as it's ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. And those six words, for the harvest time has come. Wouldn't it be awesome for me to say to you, your harvest time has come? But you don't get a harvest without this seed being in your heart first and giving it time to do what it does. All right, so just three things here. If you're taking the online notes, Pastor Jake talked about our website. If you want the notes to the message, and you like writing down things, I think if you write it, you remember it better. So here's the fill in the blanks. God's word is a seed. Look at verse 26 one more time so that you can see I'm not making this up. All of Mark 4, Jesus is talking about the seed, the word of God and what it does in our life. Jesus also said the kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God, Romans says, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you want more righteousness, peace, and joy in your life? God, we live in a world that is joyless today. So joyless. I mean, since COVID, it's like people at the drop of a hat are ready to do violence. And it's just getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And we read it, and we're so inundated with the numbers, our mind can't even get around it anymore. We just accept abnormal as normal. I mean, you find a person full of joy. Jake, that was an excellent point. Find a person full of joy and they stand out. And believers should be full of joy. We have a reason to be joyful. And if you've lost your reason to be joyful, it's not the proof that it doesn't work. It's the proof that you have a thief operating in your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying righteousness, peace, and joy is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. That seed is righteousness, peace, and joy. When it gets in your life, man, boom, it's incredible. All right, I said this, but get this. A seed does the miraculous work when it's planted in the earth, and the same thing is true in your heart. The seed of God has to get in your heart. Now, let me explain this real quickly. Right now, I am casting, scattering, giving seed out right now. The word of God is seed, and I am giving it out. Three things are going to happen with this seed today. One, you're going to hear me. You're going to shake your head, yes. You're going to say, that's great. But you're going to be a hearer and not a doer of the word. And the Bible actually says, don't deceive yourselves by being hearers and not doers. It is easy to go and listen to a message, to be motivated by the words, to actually, here's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. What I'm doing right now is trying to produce faith in you so that you believe this is possible. This is what Jesus wants for my life. He wants me to be blessed. He wants me to have righteousness, peace, and joy. He wants that for me. And if you get that in your life and you begin to believe it, now what was impossible with man becomes possible with God, but we hear it and then we don't do anything with it. We just say amen to it. So the Bible teaches, don't deceive yourselves and be hearers only. You got to be doers of the word. Yes. Jesus also taught this will happen. If you decide, I'm going to do something with this, but you don't act on it, the Bible says the devil comes immediately. How quick is immediately? While I'm talking right now, the thief is trying to reach into your heart and take what I'm saying. So the thief comes immediately to steal the seed. So we can be hearers and not doers, or we can agree with it, but we don't bury it in our heart. I'm going to act on this. God, yes to this. I believe this. I will practice. I will pray this. I will get this in my life. If you don't take it that far, the devil will come and steal it from you. So here's what you'll have, a memory of a good message. If I do say so myself. I realized after I said that how that sounded right there wasn't, you know, it's not the way that I meant that. But you'll have a memory of a message, but you won't have the reality of the harvest. Did you hear that? A memory of a message, but you won't have the reality of a harvest. I would dare say churches are full of people who know the word, but don't have the harvest in their life. Like, how many of you have read Mark 4 before? Many of us? Most of us? Can read it and not be a doer of it, or not get it in that heart and bury it, put it underneath the soil, and so the devil comes and steals the seed. So it's not enough to simply hear the message. It's not enough to agree with me. You've got to act on this message. You've got to grab it. You've got to say it's mine. I believe it. Okay, my New Year's resolution for me is I want to memorize more scripture this year because the word is a seed. The word is actually a mirror. Listen to this. The word should be reflecting who you are. When you look into the word, you should see yourself in it. You should not see a strange, like, what is that? You should look into the word. So I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for evil, to bring you a hope and to bring you a future. When you read that, it should reflect back. That's exactly what's going on in me. I have a hope. I have a future. I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. So listen, I'm 60 and I haven't slowed down. Come on now. Get this. Do something with this. Psalms chapter 1. I brought it up last week. Many years ago, I memorized this Psalms. It spoke to me. It. When I look at this, this is the mirror that I want reflecting back. I want to see myself in this scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? So the battle of teaching is that while I'm teaching, the enemy is arguing with me. Nobody's getting this. You need to come up with better words. Come on, word tripper. Get it out of your mouth the right way. Are you understanding? Okay. So go to Psalms 1 for me real quick. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. That's progressive. Walk, stand, and then sit. If you're going, well, that's not the message. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? Look at this. And that person meditates on his word. The word law there is word. That person meditates on his word day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. These four words, whatever they do, what? Man, do you want that to be the mirror that you're looking into? Where you say, that is happening inside of me. So the misinterpretation of this is, if I read the Bible, then I can go do anything and I'll be successful. That's not it. When you meditate on the word of God, it will speak to you about what you should be doing, and then you will be successful. Everything you put your hand to will prosper. Your children will prosper. Your marriage will prosper. Your mom will prosper. Mom, are you prospering? You look like you're prospering to me. Your grandchildren will prosper. Your church will prosper. Your people will prosper. Your friends will prosper. It's a mirror that I want to look into. I don't want to just read it and go, oh, that's, man, what poetry that is. I want to look into it and think everything. If you're 25, you have a lot of time to mess up. But if you're 60 or above, your time becomes very limited. And you don't have a lot of time to mess around and make mistakes and think, I can recover from this. What you're doing better count right now. It doesn't make any sense. So I want whatever I put my hand to right now, I want it to prosper. It needs to prosper. So I need to be doing what God is telling me to do. This is a seed I've got to get into my life. I don't want to just agree with it. I don't want to fool myself and think it's going to happen. I want to live prosperity. I didn't say I want to live a fat bank account. I want to live prosperity. I want my health to be prosperous. I want my mind to be clear. I want to go through this world with all of the confusion and think this is what Jesus is saying today. That makes sense? I want to be an overcomer. All right, so how do you get this seed in your heart? Because Jesus teaches, just because it's cast out there doesn't mean it automatically gets in the right place. If it gets in a shallow place, as soon as it gets hard, it'll wither. If it hits a rocky place, then the enemy will come and eat it up. It's only if it gets in the deep places that it reproduces 30, 60, or 100%. How do you get it in the right place? So what I read to you in Psalms 1, that person who meditates on the word. That's kind of become a New Age word for us. But the truth of the matter is the New Age stole meditation from the church. To meditate on the word of God is ours. It belongs to us. So we become afraid to talk about it like, oh, that's some New Age thing, Pastor. No! It's what a righteous person does with the word of God. But what does it mean to meditate on it? Because I grew up a child of the 60s and 70s. So it was Yogi blah, 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 blah with the, you know, and you know? Why do you look at me like, who is this strange man standing before us today? What are those words coming out of his mouth? That was meditation. It was some an Eastern philosophy that didn't align with the word of God. All right? So we just kind of rejected the entire thing. But this word, to meditate, actually means, if you look it up, it means to mutter. M-U-T-T-E-R. Mutter. So Terry writes me last night and exposes his age. He goes, I'll never forget that song. Hello, mutter. Hello, fodder. That's what Terry got out of the message last night. It's very powerful. It's working. And if you don't know that, you need to listen to that. I am writing from Camp Granada. Yeah, I remember. You get a lot of things if you go to Jubilee, believe me. So to meditate is to mutter. And mutter, for most of us, is like a person who mutters. It's usually like, can you believe this is happening? Another red light. Can you believe what the president's doing today? Can you believe what Congress is doing? Can you believe taxes? So we mutter, but but we mutter ugly things. But if you were to reverse that, mutter is just to talk to yourself. Can you believe what God is doing in my life today? Can you believe that the Lord wants everything that I do to prosper? Like, and if you think that's weird, what's normal? To fail at everything that you're doing? Walk with me through this for a moment. So to meditate on it is, A, it's to mutter. It's to talk to yourself. I know some think that's weird, but we do it all the time. It actually means to use your imagination. This is very powerful. So I talked about it a little bit last night. The imagination, adults tend to think kids have great imaginations, but somewhere we outgrow an imagination. John, you'll never outgrow an imagination. An imagination is a gift from God that you have to make sure is aimed in the right direction. Because if not, the enemy will control your imagination too. Your imagination is shaping the paradigm of how you see your life, how you're living your life. So I'll give you a great example. When I was 15, I dated this girl and I was head over heels. And I thought this was the one because I was so smart at 15. How many of you are grateful that God doesn't answer your prayers when you're 15 years old? Yes. My bro, oh God, please, this is the one, please, God. So, and she was a sweet girl, but this happened. This was before in the conscious ethos of America, the words bulimia weren't known. And so she began to lose weight, and nobody knew why. And she was a beautiful girl, and she was a gymnast. She was in great shape. She was not out of shape. She began to lose weight, and so they were taking her to doctors. Eventually, they put her in the hospital. She lost so much weight. Could not figure out what. They were checking for cancer. Something is wrong here. We can't figure out what's going on. And so it just wasn't a known thing like it is today. And so eventually they figured out that she was purging. And that was the cause of it. So, okay, so stop that. So isn't that how we treat things that trap? Just stop it. Just stop. If we could just stop, we don't need Jesus. So just stop. She couldn't. And I remember visiting her in the hospital, asking her, why? And she said, when I look in the mirror, I see this very overweight person. And the thinner she got, the worse her imagination. So you and I look at that and we think that's crazy. That's messed up. Yes, but we all are. Yeah. We're all in need of a savior. There's all of us have something that our imagination tells us about ourselves that either the enemy shaped or is shaping, or the Lord shapes or is shaping. You can have something happen to you when you're a child that hangs a label on you, and that's how you'll see yourself for the rest of your life unless God intervenes. I'm not talking down I'm trying to say the power of an imagination has to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so we say, oh, that's something then that a younger person deals with. But your imagination will follow you your whole life. If you think that the world is against you, then you will talk to yourself all day long about all the things that are happening to you and nobody else. When people do things we read in the newspaper, we can't believe they did that. Do you think they woke up that day and came up with that crazy idea? Or was it something that was happening for years and years and years with a chip on the shoulder about who the world is and how the world treats me? Did you hear what I'm saying right now? It's a powerful, powerful thing. So the word then to meditate is the idea of the imagination. So when we take the word to get it in our heart, we're imagining, we're using our imagination in a control of the Holy Spirit. God's plans and purpose for my life are good. He gives me a hope and a future, something for today and for tomorrow. There's nothing in his heart against me. He doesn't treat me like the redheaded stepchild. If you have red hair, I apologize totally for that terrible analogy. But God, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, read the last three words with me. So is he. As he thinks in his heart, as he imagines in his heart, so is he. You will become what you imagine yourself to be. How much time do I have? The longer you let your imagination go in that direction, the harder deliverance is. But the time to take care of it is when you're young, if you can. But the good news is, if you're still breathing, what's impossible with man is possible with God. It is not too late for you. It can still happen today, and it can change today. My genetics, my background, my lack of anything is not determining where my future goes. It's what God said about me. What I lack in some pedigree is fully made up for in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That makes sense? Yes. My biological dad was a bum. Fair? Yeah. You would know better than most. Abandoned the family. Just took off. Said he was too young. I get that. I was young too, but I had purposed and determined in my heart that that will not be my future or my children's future. So statistically, I should have repeated it. Statistically, children who grow up that way repeat then the thing that they saw, what the imagination takes over. Here's what I know. God's purpose for my life was completely different than that. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary. I'll tell you a little secret. I was kissing her right before we came into church because I'm head over heels with this woman. She captivated my heart and still has it today. I follow around like a little puppy. Hey, what's going on? You have a kiss for me? I need a kiss. Well, that wasn't a good one. Give me another one. It's true. I have all sorts of devious ways too. My children have had one father. I'm not talking down to anybody. But I wouldn't allow the curse that happened to be the future for my family, my children, my grandchildren. And people make their own decisions. I wish I could enforce it over all. All I can do is do what I do, right? And preach this and pray that the seed falls in the right place. I'm not talking down to anybody. I'm not talking negative. I'm talking to you. Do you want to change where you're going? There is a secret here. The word of God in your heart, you won't even have to try. It will work while you're doing what you're doing. God, that's such a powerful. All right. It takes time for the seed to germinate. Verse 27, real quick. We got to scoot here. Night and day, while he's asleep, she's asleep, they're asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but the person does not understand how it happens because the genius of God is pre-programmed into the seed. You don't have to make it happen. You just got to get it in the right place in your heart. The great theologian Tom Petty said the waiting is the hardest part. You know, nobody last night got that. And I work hard to put cute little things like that into the message for you. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you. I hear you laugh over there, and it encourages me. So, three mistakes when you're waiting. It takes time. You agree with that?
Yes.
That's the only part with it that I wish I could change. It just takes time. So three mistakes when you put the seed in your heart that you can make while you're waiting. One is to just say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to give it a try. You don't try the word of God. You do the word of God. If you need a money-back guarantee, go to MyPillow.com. On the spot. Boom. Fresh manna right there. You don't try the word of God. You do the word of God. In fact, there's only one place in Scripture where we're allowed to test when it comes to God. So Lord, test me in this when it comes to giving. See if you can outgive me. That's the only place. Otherwise than that, it is by faith that we receive it, by faith that we do it. If you struggle with that, keep listening, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. This is the word of God right now. Here's the second thing that we do. We dig it up to see if it's working. We don't leave it in the ground. We mess with it. We'll say ugly things about, why isn't this working? Pastor John. Or we try to harvest it before it's ready. You just cannot do it. A day before or a day after, it's the day, it's the time. So I think, like, if you want to take these three and just, what's the one thing I could do? It's Proverbs 18, 21. Pull that up for me real quick. The waiting is the hardest part. Can we not get there? Says that the power of life and death is found in the tongue. What you're saying about what God is doing is ultimately important. If you're cursing the seed, this doesn't work. This is not going to happen. This is taking too long. That pastor just got me motivated, and look where I'm at right now. Don't curse the seed. Bless the seed. Bless it. You don't get something by criticizing it. You get it by blessing it. You don't get change from saying what's wrong with something. You get change when you begin to see the possibilities of what God is doing with something. In our marriage, oh my gosh, I don't have time to go back and do all this. So yes, we just passed 40 years. 39, we're questionable. I'm teasing. The first five, cursed our marriage. Why did I marry you? It was a mistake. Shouldn't have done this. And cursed our marriage. Really what we wanted was change. And so we were trying to do it the world's way. I'll curse you to get what I want. That's actually called manipulation. You need to grow up. Stop it. By faith. I'm glad. What are you doing? Are you worried about trying to find the... No, pay attention to me. I'm talking about you right now. Every morning, first words out of our mouth. I get up before Chris when she comes down. I'm usually reading something like that, and she'll come in, and I will say, good morning, beauty. And she will say, good morning, handsome. And I know you go, eh. But it works for us. And we know that time and gravity have changed a lot of things. We recognize that. We're not stupid. We're not fooling ourselves. But she's totally captivated my heart. She's the most beautiful woman who ever lived. And I gladly lay my life down. Gladly. Bless the seed. I'm giving you gold right now, and I don't know if you're hearing me. Bless the seed. Speak the blessing of God over the seed. And don't stop because it's not working as fast as you want, or you're not seeing the change like you want to see it. Keep blessing it. All right. Here's the third fill-in, and we're done. We reproduce after our kind. Okay, do this little test with me. It's not a trick. Humans reproduce Cats reproduce?
Yes.
Devils. Sorry, Mom, I know you love cats. Trees reproduce?
Trees.
An apple tree never reproduces a pear, it reproduces. And it doesn't strain to, you never see an apple tree sweating. Oh, I'm working so hard to get an apple. It does what it does. You agree with that simple philosophy? Okay. So listen to what I'm going to teach you. Flesh reproduces flesh and spirit reproduces spirit. Flesh doesn't turn into spirit. I'm telling you something very important right now. We reproduce after our kind. If you're not getting what you want, question what's going on in the flesh. Let me read this scripture to you. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature or your flesh craves. The sinful nature wants to do what? It's just what it wants to do. And it does it without thinking about it. It does it without trying. So when you get born again, you give your heart to the Lord. What you did before without thinking about it, you can still do it, but now you feel bad about it because there's a new man inside of you. Your spirit is warring with the flesh, and the flesh is warring with the spirit. What you used to do that you never thought this is evil or wrong, you now recognize it. That's where Paul says, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do is the thing I'm doing. Woe is me. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. So we reproduce after our kind. Flesh reproduces flesh. So then it gets into what the flesh does. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants to do. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires to do. All right, so then it gets into it. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. How long does that battle go on? While you're on this earth, you will have that battle. As your spirit man increases and strengthens, flesh can weaken. And you can get victory in your life. But if you don't nurture that, then the sinful man can grow strong. And while you're living on this earth, the kingdom of God seems to escape you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You'll go to heaven, but you're not living what Jesus died to give you. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus came to bring life, and not just any life, but abundant life. John 10:10. So when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Okay, here's, it's reproducing after itself. Flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling. If you have an anger problem, call it what it is, your flesh. You say, man, I'm addicted to pornography. Your flesh is addicted to pornography. Not your spirit, your flesh. Your flesh. I mean, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. I mean, it could just go on and on and on. So let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You'll do those things, but you don't get the joy of the Lord when you do them. You get a moment of pleasure, perhaps, and then the after effect of what your flesh does. Flesh, it will eat your heart. That is so good. It will eat your heart. It will tear. Flesh reaps death. And there is worse death than physical death. To die while you still are alive. Okay. So anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So this is what the Holy Spirit reproduces. Love. How many need more love? How many want to love better? Yeah, come on. Joy? Yes. Amen. I mean, I don't need more joy. So come on, enough. My joy capacity is very limited, Pastor. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Watch how he finishes this. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Our job with the flesh every day, Jesus, this is yours, nailing it back to the cross. You died to take this away from me. Holy Spirit, fill my life. Holy Spirit, reproduce in me this seed of God in your life. You're not trying to have more joy, more love, more peace, more patience. When the Holy Spirit is operating in your heart fully, that's what's being reproduced inside of you. So that when somebody does something to you that you don't like, instead of cursing at them, you can forgive them. Thank you for that. Overwhelming. Powerful. Oh, Pastor. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Now, what do we do? What do we do with this real quick? What are we going to do with this? So I want to challenge you on a fixed law. This, as long as the earth remains, this is a fixed law. Genesis 8:22. Listen to this. As long as the earth endures or remains, there will be seed time and harvest, planting and harvest. As long as the earth remains, whether you even believe or not, this is a fixed law. If you put something in your life, you're going to reap something. If you put evil in, you'll reap evil. But if you put the word of God in your life, So I want to challenge you. Perhaps you think, that is like elementary 101, get the word in your life. And you will never outgrow it. You will not outgraduate this. This will never be something that you overcome. Every day, put the word of God in your life. Every day, read it. Every day, pray it. Every day, try to memorize it. There was a time in my life I had 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John completely memorized. Could quote it, could say the verse, and I could pull it out of the air. And then I quit practicing it, and now I can get here and there. What happened? The enemy stole what I didn't guard. Where are you at with what I'm saying right now? What's going on in your life? What are you reaping right now? Does this message bother you? And if so, why? Don't be mad at me. Be mad at the enemy who is stealing from you. Do something with this, church. Do something with this. Don't be hearers. Don't let the thief have it. It's not too late. Get it in your heart and watch what can happen. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. I bless you. I thank you for your faithfulness today. Lord, I know your plans are plans for good and not for evil, to bring your people a future and a hope. Lord, of course, the enemy wars against that. He lies to us constantly. Father, I know some people are reaping on things that they planted in their life and they hate what they're reaping right now. So, God, would you pour out your grace and your mercy? Pour out your grace and your mercy. Father, remove what the enemy has tried to sow. Father, if it's mixed in, then Lord, we ask that you would reap on the things that you have sown in our life. Lord, I want to pray that right now you would put a hunger back in the heart of your people to meet with you first thing in the morning. Church, I challenge you, first thing tomorrow. Our last thing tonight, before you close your eyes, open your Bible, get into the Word, pick one verse, get it in your heart. Psalms 23, Psalms 91, 1 John. There's so much. He loves you and he cares for you. Jesus came to bring life, and not just any life, but abundant life. Man, I pray over you the seed of abundant life. I pray the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit would be yours, that you wouldn't just say, yes, it's out there, but you'll live it. in abundance, that the things of this earth won't shake you, but the things of heaven. You'll lay hold of treasure in heaven. Man, I bless this word right now. I pray the Lord protect this word. I pray it goes to the deepest parts of your heart and brings back a hundredfold return. I pray that when we get to heaven, you'll say, Pastor, thank you for teaching me that word. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, 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 amen.